Lord, I ask for new things, new revelation, new insight into your word tonight, that we can walk as new creation into the realities of the new things that is found in the resurrection life of Christ. We thank you for everything tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just came back from sharing with a group just now about the principle of resurrection. There are such marvelous truth in the Bible that we have yet to dig in. What we learn so far is just skimming the surface of this cream, of this milk. We need to dig deep into understand what is the organic blueprint and the architectural plan of God that is found in the 66 books. And yet, I'm still waiting to hear and waiting that a fellow brethren will begin to open up the marvelous salvation, that we will know what is on the heart of God tonight, so that we can be the finished masterpiece of God that's found in the book of Revelation. We are the new creation. But simply by knowing what we are, it's not enough. We need to walk in the light of the truth. And there's much more. And I pray that we will dig into this book. We'll be like bees. You know, workers' bees, that will dig into this pollen and this honeycomb and begin to feast ourselves on this word of life and begin to discover what is hidden in this book. There are treasures, there are gold mines that are inside this book. And God is waiting for people that are hungry, that will travail before God and say, God, open up this book, not as a novel, not as a historical book, but a book that will unfold your genetic, spiritual genetic blueprint, that what we must do in this life to fulfill the heart of God. You know, I just came back from the itinerant tour around Taiwan. And so they asked me, what will I speak for the 14 days? So I faxed them the 22 messages that I will speak among the five cities. And guess what? God changed all my 21 messages. And I went there. Every message was a new message. And I went up and apologized. I say, I wanted to speak this, but the Lord just changed it. And on this trip, the Lord is so marvelous that He unveiled the light of Psalms. And He showed me 19 beautiful Psalms that I've read, I have taught, and I've understood in the past. But this time it was in great detail, in great depth and great light. And so pray with me, because now I'm writing on a book called The Prayer Experience in the Book of Psalms. And probably by March it will be translated in the English and in the Mandarin languages. Well, tonight, why do I change instead of part two on My Body, His Life? It's because of what happened on the 31st of October this month, where we have a tragic happening, the SIA 006 that crashed in Taipei. And I felt that have much stirring in my heart, and I want to share something along that light. Why? Because on that day, I took the same SIA flight, same day, but earlier flight back to Singapore. And God preserved me. God preserved that flight. Because in that month, we started our first semester in our third school in Taiwan, and I taught on the Lord is our protector and our preservator. And lo and behold, when I read the news the next morning, I said, Lord, you have preserved our lives, and we have proclaimed the reality of your word, and you have protected us. So next month, we are flying back. We're going to tell them what we preach is working in our life. It works. Amen. If this book doesn't work, then forget about it. Amen? But this book is real. And when we arrived in Taichung, the coordinator was very worried. And she didn't tell me what was it. Until the last day, during supper, she told me, Brother, do you know 3 days before you came, the radio and television have broadcast that typhoon will hit Taiwan 3 days before your arrival. And if it hit the typhoon hit Taiwan, your school will be a flop. And when we came, there was wind, strong winds, but typhoon seems there was delayed. And it stopped, and it was after 4 days, on the last night, when we about to finish our sermon, let the rain begin to come, the cats and dogs begin to come. And next day when we leave Taiwan, then there the typhoon came in the early stage. The whole plane was shaking, it was raining and shaking, and we took off. And we heard from the news that typhoon has landed that day. And God preserved us, God preserved His plan. If there was typhoon, the third school could not have started. Praise the Lord. And that's why tonight, I want to share with you about protection and preservation. What is very real to me, I want to share with you tonight. You remember, at the beginning of this year, I shared with you about the prophetic message for the year 2000. And I say two A's. I say alignment for advancement, if you still remember. And this trip, when I was still in Taiwan, do you know something? This prophetic word is still coming to pass. There were three national leaders, and they were telling me how the Lord is shifting their plans. And I said, brother, sister, there is divine alignment in our lives for future advancement. And I believe tonight among us, there are some that you are in the midst of that alignment. God is fine-tuning your walk, and if you are sensitive enough to allow the Lord to move you, whatever His plan for your life is, then you will go for your future advancement. What do I mean? I give you an example. Yesterday, I have a call from a sister. She said, Pastor, please pray for me. I said, what do you want me to pray about? He says, I felt in my heart that God is realigning my ministry to go overseas and start a ministry. And in my mind, this is what I want to start. I want to start an inner healing ministry because I'm trained from Canada. But now seems that the Lord is realigning my life, and He wants me to go into children's ministry. And my love is for inner healing. And here, the opportunity comes is to open schools among the children. And when she was talking, the Lord said, realignment. The Lord said, go in. This is the plan of God for your life. And I gave her a verse from Psalms 102, verse 28. I said, step into it. This is God's divine plan. As you pray about it, I believe the Lord is redirecting your paths and your way. Sometimes we feel that this is what God wants us to do. But somehow, when God realigns and we are sensitive to say, Lord, alright, I surrender my plans. I don't feel like doing it, but because You want me, I will do it. And I tell you, if you allow God to do that work in your life this year has still haven't come to an end. God is still doing the work of realignment in our life. And if we allow God to adjust our plans and our purposes, then God will have a great future for us. Do you know, now I'm standing here, life is really wonderful. It's marvelously wonderful. It's like walking on cloud nine. You say, have you had a visitation to heaven? No. I'm walking in the divine plan of God, in His perfect will. Everything seems to be rosy because I realign myself in January. What I don't like to do, I allow the Lord to redirect, refocus my direction. And now those big, huge doors are open in the nations. And now the Lord is redirecting my plan. He says, 2002, do this. I said, Lord, do this? I never have this in mind. He said, just follow my plans. Whenever you follow God's plan, you will have God's success and blessings. And I felt in my heart, if you have been used to be doing things, doing the same old things in the past, and if this year God seems to speak to you of something that is remote in your mind, I pray that you'll be sensitive enough to catch it. Catch the divine revelation, even though you don't like it, even though you never think of doing it. But if God impresses it upon your heart, take it, or else you miss your destiny. That sister told me, I don't even like it. I say, please like it. It's God's plan for your life. When you move into it, you will be blessed. That's how we walk in the divine will, when we deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow His plan. And I felt in my heart, there are some of you, God has been speaking to you, but you are still staying in the old path.
You are still staying in the old way of doing things. And I'm afraid to tell you, some of you, it's going to be stagnant in what God wants you to do. Unless you say, Lord, you've been speaking about something I don't like to do, but seems that you are indicating to me. And I pray that you will be sensitive tonight to change and modify your plans and your pursuit. And then you will see great advancement.
Oh, I wish tonight I want to talk to you about next year. Oh, next year is another two alphabet. Hallelujah.
So I pray, if God is directing you now, giving you instruction, please change. I don't know why I'm saying all this. I just felt there's a few of you, God is speaking to you. And you have heard it, but you dare not step out. You dare not step because you're worrying whether this is God's will, whether this is your flesh, and you are worried. But God has speak to you. And God said, change. And if you allow that dynamic change to come, there will be breakthroughs and advancements for your life that you have never dreamed. I just want to pray for the few person. Would you close your eyes for the few person that you know that God is speaking to you right now? And you know, yes, anyone else? Because yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? Yes, yes, right at the back, yes. You know it tonight, just say, Lord, I will continue to pray for further confirmation. Lord, I want to know your plan. Please enlighten me. Show me your light. Father, I pray for this beloved people who sacrificed their time to come for this Sunday evening service. Lord, I have heard from you. You are telling me to tell them that this year is not over, that they need to synchronize their walk with your timing and with your purposes. Lord, I ask that you will redirect their path so that they will harmonize with your plan. So I pray, Father, that give them that assurance, give them that light, give them that understanding so that they know that this is you who is guiding them. This is you who is directing their path. So I pray, Father, give them the courage, give them the sensitivity to take hold of it and to align themselves for future advancement and breakthrough. Father, I thank you that you will do this thing that we ask in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we just read Psalms 121. Psalms is a beautiful book. It was only on this trip in Taiwan that God began to open up the entire book of Psalms to me. I've read Psalms over 15 years. But this year is so different. When I saw, I said, goodness, how come I've never seen it for the past 15 years? So one of the chapters I wrote is called The Springs of Suffering. And one of my last chapters is called The Building of God. And it's all the secret hidden treasures in the book of Psalms. And tonight, we will take a look at Psalms 121. It's a very short psalm of 8 verses. I still remember the old story that was told to me by a very godly, saintly evangelist and prophet from India. And the story goes like this. By the way, what is prayer? What is prayer? Yes? Yeah, you have some answers, brother. What is prayer? You have been praying every day, right? What is prayer? Yes, sister? Communicating with God. Praise God for boldness. A woman so bold. Hallelujah. Anyone else? What is prayer? Sorry? Anyone? Sorry? Crying out to God. Amen. Anything else? Anything else? Yes, brother. Hunger and thirst for God. Now, let me give you the definition of prayer from this old saint who told this story. One day, this man, somewhere in Scotland or Wales, an old man that was working in a coal mine, and he named it as Jim. This coal miner, while on his way to the coal mine, he was stopped by at a chapel. And early in the morning, before he goes to his workplace, he will look at this chapel, and he will bow his head, and bring down his head, and this is what he say: "Good morning, Jesus.
this is Jim.
And he will pause for a while, put on his hat, and on his way to work. That was his prayer. Every morning he will stand at the chapel, and he will put down his hat and say, "Good morning, Jesus. This is Jim." That was his routine prayer. You say, why? Because he was an uneducated man who doesn't know anything about language. And all he knew was that's how he can learn to greet Jesus every morning. He at least is better off than some of us. Some of us never even greet Jesus good morning. Right? Some of us are so busy when we woke up in the morning, we ran about drinking our coffee, read newspaper and rush off to work. We have not even said a very good morning to Jesus. At least this man, an uneducated coal miner, said, "Good morning, Jesus, this is Jim." And one day, there was an explosion in the coal mine. And what happened is that he was one of the victims of the explosion. And when he woke up in the hospital bay, he found himself, his legs was all bandaged up, his body was bandaged up with burns and so on. And he looked at the clock on the wall, tears began to roll down his cheek. He realized it was time, his usual time, where he would stand at that entrance of the chapel where he would greet Jesus every morning. And this time he couldn't make it. I tell you, this man's prayer life is so genuine. Because the day he missed prayer, he shed tears. When you miss your prayer, do you shed tears? You forget. You go about your merrymaking. But this man said, "Ayah, today I should be at the chapel greeting my Lord." To him, prayer was a prayer habit that he had it every day of his life. So he shed tears. He couldn't be at the chapel. How about you? If you miss a day of prayer, do your heart aches for Jesus? He shed tears. And lo and behold, he was so surprised. He saw a man walking. And this man walking looked straight at him. He said, "Good morning, Jim. This is Jesus." And he was shocked. He said, "Because you couldn't come and greet me, I miss your daily greetings, so I'm here to greet you." Do you know that Jesus missed us? We thought that, oh, we don't pray, we miss God. I tell you, if you don't pray, God miss you. That's why we need to know that prayer is a fellowship, a mutual communication between two lovers. So if you miss your appointment in your prayer closet, the lover's waiting for you. He said, "Ah, I miss you. Where are you today?" Just like when one of the time when Adam missed his appointment, God came to the garden and said, "Where are you, Adam?" He was missing Adam. Because every day they have a communion in that garden of love. And that day, he missed one appointment and the Father God said, "Where are you, Adam?" He missed his son. Amen? There was another interesting definition of prayer, which I want to share with you in line with Psalms 121. This prayer definition occurred over 300 years ago. It happens in a little parish chapel in France. It was managed by a very famous godly saint by the name of Dr. Saint Valery. This man is a very godly man of prayer. So one morning, very early in the morning, he went into his own chapel and he found a man, a young man, kneeling at another corner praying. So he went and do about his own routine of prayer. And when he came back, that man disappeared. So he went about to do his own daily business. And the next day when he came again, very early in the morning, again he saw that same young man kneeling in the same spot. Do you know something? Your prayer life must have a same spot. Your prayer closet must be the consistent place. I don't know about you, in my life there is a consistent spot that every morning I seek His face. At that spot, I am raptured. Why? Because there is a sense of intimacy that is attached to that place. Just like a Bible. If you read any other Bible, do you know that there is no feelings of romance? But if it's your own Bible that you have been reading year after year, my, when you open it up, it is treasure. Right? Something. So this man will kneel at the same spot. And so this man came in. Saint Valery saw it. He went about doing his own prayer. But when he came back, again he disappeared. This went on for weeks. And finally, this man wants to know why, out of the blue, this young man will always come so early and kneel at the same spot. So one day, he decided to have a short prayer and wait for the man to finish his prayer. So he waited, and the man finished his prayer. He said, "What are you doing?" And this young man replied, an uneducated farmer, he said, "I'm praying." "You are not. I didn't hear any sound from you. There's no noise, no articulated words. He said, "Yes, I'm praying." So Sanballat asked him this question, "Then, what is prayer?" And when that man answered his question, this uneducated peasant changed and revolutionized this saintly man of prayer, a great man of prayer. He was so touched by the answer. And this is the answer that he gave him. He said, "Pastor, I did pray." So the pastor said, "What is prayer?" And he replied, "I look at Jesus, and Jesus look at me. And we both are very happy together." That was his definition of prayer. By the way, this story I'll be writing in my book on the book of Psalms. Pre-statement, he state. First statement, "I look at Jesus." Do you know something? Sometimes when we pray, we don't even look at Jesus. We just mumble our prayer. "Father, in Jesus' name, we come and please supply me all your manna in the morning." And you ask God to bless you of all your routine work. We don't even look at Jesus. But this man say, "When I pray, I don't look at my problem. I don't look at my needs. I look straight at Jesus." He was so focused in his prayer. Prayer must be focused. Secondly, he said, "When I look at Jesus," the second statement is, "Jesus, look at me." Sometimes when we pray, we walk out our prayer closet wondering, did the Lord hear my prayer? We doubted whether the Lord will answer our prayer. We have doubts in our heart. But look at this young man. He said, "When I pray, Jesus, look at me," which means Jesus is listening to my prayer. He had such faith. Prayer must not only be focused, prayer must be prayed in faith, knowing that the Father will always listening to the cries of His children. Then he concludes, "And we are both very happy together." Hey, when he prayed, before his prayer, during his prayer, after his prayer, when he ended his prayer, he had a round watermelon face, full of smile. But we, when we enter into prayer, we drag our foot into prayer, we baptize in vinegar and in our tears, and we walk out with long papaya face. Very miserable. We felt prayer is a drag, prayer is a monotony, prayer is a boredom. But this man said, "We are so happy together." Prayer not only satisfy his heart, prayer satisfy the heart of the one that looks at him. He said, "We both are very happy together." Hey, what a beautiful definition of prayer. You see, is this kind of prayer scriptural? Yes. We just read Psalms 1-1. Right? But let's look at Psalms 1-3. Psalms 1-3. "Unto thee lifted I up my eyes, O thou that dwells in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He had mercy upon us." Again here, the psalmist say, my style of prayer is simply, I look at Jesus, I look at God persistently until He responds in mercy. Most of us, when we pray, we look at Jesus. "Jesus, please, tolong, help me." After the tolong for 5 minutes, we forget about the whole thing. But this psalmist says, I will look at Jesus, keep looking at Jesus until He shows me His mercy. That's called persistence in our prayer. We keep knocking at the door of heaven until He responds to us. Amen? And that likewise This is the same prescription of prayer in Psalms 121 verse 1. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, from whence come my help. My help come from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalms 121 verse 1 and 2 simply means, when I pray, I look unto the Lord. I look at Jesus. Scriptural? Secondly, Jesus, look at me. How do we know? Psalms 121 verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, when a person is not sleeping nor slumber, that means their eyelid is not closed. When you are asleep, you close your eyelid, right? But here it says, God doesn't sleep. God doesn't take a vacation or a holiday. So when he look at you, he's not sleeping. His eyes is open. Which means, he said, I look at God, and God's eyes, who is not sleeping, with eyes wide open, he's looking at me. So prayer simply means, I look at Jesus, and Jesus look at me. And then when he understood the revelation that God will bless him, what is the Lord's blessing in verse 8? He says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy going in from this time forth and even forevermore. He knew that the Lord is going to protect him, and he has such assurance. I tell you, he has such joy in looking at Jesus. There is joy in his prayer. Amen? Now, let's ponder for a moment. I look at Jesus. Is this the kind of prayer posture that we can adopt? Yes. Do you remember a heathen king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king, when he was in his moments of insanity? Do you remember in this Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34? It says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding return unto me. Hey, when he lifts up his eyes unto the Lord in heaven, the Bible say God answered his prayer and he retained his sanity. He was insane for many days, but the day when he looked up to heaven, signifying he knew that he need help from heaven, when he looked up, suddenly God answered his prayer. When God answers his prayer, the Bible says immediately his sanity returned back to his soul. Which means when he looked up to God, God looked at him. Wow. What does it mean when we say, we in our prayer, we look at Jesus? Well, Psalms 141 verse 8 will give us a very interesting answer. Psalms 141 verse 8. And it says in verse 8, but my eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. The psalmist David says, my eyes are upon the Lord. What do we mean when we say we keep our eyes on the Lord? He goes on to say, in thee is my trust. In other words, this phrase, I look at Jesus with my eyes of faith, simply means I put my whole trust in God, the one that will surely meet all my needs and my cares. I trust Him. That's why I look to Him. And that's a very interesting phrasing of how we look to Jesus. It was in Psalms 25, another Psalm of David. Let's look at how David looked at Jehovah. Psalms 25 and verse 15. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. He was so confident. He said, when I look at the Lord, He will certainly deliver me. Verse 16. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me down out of my distresses. Look at how David prayed. His eyes was on the Lord, but immediately after that, in verse 16, what did he say? Turn your face towards me. What do you mean, turning your face towards me, Lord? What is on the face? A pair of eyes. In other words, I look at you, Lord, would you turn your face and would you look at me and show me your mercy, for I am desolate and afflicted. Hey, that is prayer. I look at God and God looks at me. And continue. Look at what David say in verse 18. Look. Is that what he say in verse 18? Look upon my affliction and my pains and forgive all my sins. Look at what David say. He say, David, God, turn your face towards me. Now, God, these are the three areas I want you to look. Firstly, look at my afflictions. Secondly, look at my pains. And thirdly, look at my sins and forgive me. Not only that, look at the fourth area. Verse 19. Consider my enemies. For they are many, and they that hate me with cruel hatred. Now, verse 19, the first phrase. Consider my enemies. The word consider in the Hebrew is the word ra'ah. The word ra'ah means a vision, to stare, to behold, to look and gaze at something. It's not a fleeting gaze. It's to look and stare at something. He said, God, please take a good look at this situation. My enemies have a cruel hatred. There are so many and they want to wipe me out. Four areas, David asked God to look at his condition. Affliction, pains, sins, and his enemies. Wow! Now we can pray a more creative prayer. We can pray, Lord Jesus, may your eyes look upon my situation today. The eye of the Lord, look at my situation. Look at how my enemy is maneuvering a plan to destroy me. Have mercy upon me. Turn your face and shine your countenance upon me. Wow. This will be a new form of prayer. Don't pray stereotype prayer. Pray creative prayer based on understanding. Amen. And then look at what it says in verse 20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed. For I put my trust in thee. Why did David look upon Jehovah? Because he knew his answer comes from the Lord. He knows that his trust is in the Lord. Tonight, if you are half-heartedly in half-belief, thinking and believing that God may help you, don't put your eyes on the Lord. It will not work. But tonight you say, there is no other refuge, there are no other fortress, no other solution, only God. Then you put your eyes on Him and say, you are my sole trust. There's no other man can save me. You alone can save me. If you have this kind of attitude of your heart in prayer, with your eyes of your soul looking to Jesus, Jesus will certainly hear our prayer. And then we continue to read and discover what did David do in times of his prayer of waiting before the Lord. He says this in verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. We always talk about the prayer of waiting. What do we do in prayer, waiting before the Lord? We wait in prayer with the eyes of our heart, looking to Jesus and say, Jesus, look at my situation. Look carefully at my situation. These are the few things that I want you to know right now. Please help me. That is prayer. And this prayer, this Psalms 121 is very interesting. It is a very powerful psalm. There was a story of an old woman, happened during World War II. One day, she read Psalms 121 and verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And she put her name there. Behold, God that keepeth me shall neither slumber nor sleep. And she believed it in childlike faith. And then suddenly, the German bombers came over London and began to drop the bombs all over the city of London, bombing every place. There was bombardment. And everybody was running to shelter. And lo and behold, one of the security officers was ticking the name list. And she found out that this particular sister did not come to the bomb shelter. So he was worried. He went round the camp to look for her, but she was nowhere to be found. So He waited until the bombing lasted for 2 days, was over. Then he went out in search of this old lady, and he knew where this old lady stayed. So he went and he found the house where this old lady stayed. Can you imagine? All around the neighborhood of this old lady are all bombed by the bombers, all shattered, the buildings all collapsed, except her house. Except her house. And he knocked at the door. And lo and behold, the familiar voice of the lady answered the door. You never die. He said, of course I don't die. He said, you're crazy. How come you don't run to the bomb shelter? Why must I run to the bomb shelter? I can run to Jesus. He said, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. You are crazy. He said, why are you saying that? Because I found my answer. And he flipped open her old English Bible, Psalms 121 verse 4. Look, God told me, he that keepeth me didn't sleep. He didn't take even a cat nap. He was watching me, so I don't have to worry. If he's looking at me, I can have a good night's sleep. So the past 2 days, I've been sleeping well. Wow! What a psalm of protection and preservation. Now, when you look at this psalm, if you look at all the commentaries, you know how what do they entitle this psalm? They entitle this psalm called the Prayer of Assurance. This is what I call based on natural knowledge of the soul of man. But based on revelation knowledge, this should not be the title. You know what's the title of this psalm? This is a watchman psalm. I would entitle this psalm, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, our watchman. Hey, that's a beautiful title. No, you have never find this kind of title in any commentary. How do you know? Look at verse 5. The Lord, which is Jehovah, is my keeper. And this word keeper, my keeper, Jehovah is my keeper. This keeper is very interesting because the word keeper is the word Shammah. So you put it together, Jehovah Shammah is my keeper. What is the word Shammah? Shammah in the Hebrew simply means a watchman. So therefore, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, my watchman, is watching over my life. Neither slumber nor sleep. Wow. It's a watchman's psalm. Now let me tell you about this word Shammah. It's very interesting because it occurs 6 times in this psalm. Let's go through the first time that it was mentioned in verse 3. The later part of verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. The word keeper is the word Shammah. Then the second time that was mentioned was in verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth, he that Shammah Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The third time was in verse 5. The Lord is thy Shammah. Then verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee. The Lord shall Shammah thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall Shammah thy soul. And look at verse 8. The Lord shall Shammah, preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. 6 times the word Shammah is mentioned. Have you ever heard of a covenant name of God called Jehovah Shammah? Never. When I was in Taiwan, I taught them a new name. I say, tonight we call it Jehovah Gomorrah. He said, never heard of this title before. We must walk in revelation knowledge. Hey, we have heard about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner of victory. Then we have Jehovah Siknu, the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the overflowing present one. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Jehovah Makandish, right? The Lord, our sanctifier. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. We have all the 7 covenant names of God. But beside the 7 names, the compound names of Yahweh, there is another name. It's Jehovah Shammah. And this is what we must learn about God tonight. You see, we grow in faith according to the level of our knowledge of God. The more we know about God and His book, the more we grow in faith in our dynamic approach in prayer. And tonight, once we discover who Jehovah Shammah is, I tell you, our prayer life will change. And afterwards, we're going to make a prayer. We're going to practically pronounce the blessing of this prayer over our life. People are asking, you travel, you need insurance? What insurance? This is our insurance. Tell them, Psalms 121. Is that crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I know God's name. God's name tonight is Jehovah Shammah. Hey, I'm preserved on October 31st this year. Instead of our plane crash, our plane went off. Hallelujah. Instead of coming 3 days to hit the school with a great typhoon, it didn't come until we finished. God was telling the typhoon, don't come. My son is teaching in Taichung. Please, until my son leaves, then you come. Hallelujah. What a joy. Amen. God always protects us from natural disaster. We have a conference in 1998, January. When we leave that day, Sydney was flooded with water for 2 days after we left. Hallelujah. God indeed is our protector and our preservator. Now, this word Shammah in the Hebrew language, it has four meanings. The first meaning, Shammah means preservation. Now, the word preservation is not what we think we know. This word preservation in the Hebrew language, it has to do with preserving the best wine in a wine cellar. You know, in a wine cellar, you keep the champagnes and all the wonderful expensive wine. You keep it over a long time. They got wine on the lees. This kind of preservation of the quality of the ingredients of the wine is called Shammah. Preservation. That nothing will be spoiled. Nothing will rot in this wine. Likewise, when this verse says, the Lord will Shammah my soul. I tell you, if you tonight proclaim that God is your Jehovah Shammah, nothing is going to rot in your soul. Nothing should degenerate in your soul. In fact, in your soul, every day, the divine life of God must add more life into you, and you will be refined, you will change, you have the uplifted humanity, you look more like Christ. Amen? Not more like the devil, more like Christ. That's what we should be. We should be more Christ-like when God preserves our soul. Amen? How is your soul today? Don't watch over the attack of the enemy from the outside. Watch over what goes on in the soul of your heart. Yesterday there was a very rich banker. He came for the meeting. And he was trying to talk a lot of things. When I look at him, and the Lord said, just mention these few things. When I mentioned these few things, he couldn't take it. He walked away. Because he wants to be the main person that chair the whole meeting. But he doesn't have anything in his soul. What he had is money. So he couldn't answer what I say. He walked away and answered a call. He was expounding on brilliant things. But he was not watching the things that was running in his soul. Very important. We must know what goes on in our soul. Every day we say, Lord. Don't say, Lord, give me more anointing. Please don't pray this prayer. This is an immature prayer. What you need to pray is, Lord, preserve my soul. Let me not be arrogant, but let me walk in the humility. Let me walk more in kindness, in love, in gentleness. Every day, let the Lord preserve our soul. Amen? The most beautiful thing about a man is a beautiful soul. Amen? Secondly, the word Shammah in the Hebrew means protection. And it used a very Hebrewic picture. It's a picture of a hedge of a bushy pond. You know those bush in Palestine have many ponds. And when you surround an area with a hedge of ponds or bushes, that is Shammah in the Hebrew language. Once you have the bush of ponds, nothing can penetrate. It's like a shield. It's a protection. If the enemy wants to attack you, they have to get hurt and cut by the thorns. That's protection. When God is Jehovah Shammah in your life, He will be like a bush of thorns. If the enemy wants to touch you, he has to touch the Lord first. Amen? Thirdly, the word Shammah is very interesting. It means watchfulness. What do you mean watchfulness? In the Hebrew language, He used a Hebrewic language again, a pictorial term. It's a picture of an eyelid that is wide open, observing every single detail. Oh, when you say, God, you are Jehovah Shammah in my life, you know what you're saying? You are saying, Lord, you are opening up your big eyes, watching over everything that is happening in my life. People are asking me, what a tragic thing that has happened to Taiwan. He said, with the air crash, I say you don't understand the big picture. If you understand what is going on in Taiwan, something is happening in the realm of the spirit and God is answering. You may not know all the details, but there's a something more bigger than what we know about air crash. Something bigger. The plans of the enemy is trying to invade Taiwan and God is about to stop it. There is a national emergency of prayer right now in Taiwan. That's why we're only praying for the victim, but we do not know that Taiwan is in a national crisis today. You see, we must know the big picture. What God is doing in the nation of Taiwan. God is doing something. When I look at air crash, and the Lord says, son, look behind this picture. Look at what I'm doing. And when I was praying, the Lord gives the divine revelation what He was doing in Taiwan. I said, my God, you are buying time. You're buying time for Taiwan. You're mobilizing your army, giving them more time to pray and intercede against something that is very hideous, very wicked that's about to happen. Wow. When we pray, we must pray with divine revelation knowledge. Don't pray at surface level. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the fourth thing, the word Shema, it means a watchman. In the Hebrew language, it is a picture of a man that is on duty at the watchtower, watching the affairs during the night hours. Hey, so you have four meanings there. Preservation, protection, watchfulness, and a watchman. So, when you say, bring these four meanings into what we acknowledge God's covenant name, we say, God, you are Jehovah Shammah, bringing this four Hebrew meaning into this declaration of faith. You know what you're saying? You're saying, God, we declare you are my watchman with watchfulness, watching over my affairs, and you are determined to preserve me and protect me. Hallelujah. Is that protection? Well, look at verse 7. He said, the Lord shall shama thee from all evil. Hallelujah. The Lord will keep you from all evil. There's a devil here. There's a devil there. Why think about the devil? Why don't you proclaim that God is watching over your life? That the Lord is preserving you from all evil. Amen. I was in a particular city in a central Taiwan recently. In a toilet, there was some funny things going on. Like when you're bathing, somebody walked past you. A puff of cold wind and all your goosebumps rise up. When I was bathing, somebody slammed the door in the middle of the night. And I know it was not common. And that night, there was many funny things. You know what I mean. Hantu. And so what happened? The ladies were panicked, but I said, God, you are Jehovah Shammah, my preservator, my protector. I'm going to have good night's sleep. And I slept through. The next day they said, hey, do you know something yesterday? Oh, middle of night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Hey, this noise come. I said, what noise? Because you have God as your protector. You know what it means? The Lord is my keeper. Shama, my protector. You know what it means in modern colloquial term? The Lord is my bodyguard. Who dare touch me? Hey, he's my bodyguard. If you want to touch me, you touch the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. Amen. Very interesting. You say, do you really think that the Lord looks at you with such watchfulness? I say, amen. He said, what's the proof? I'll prove to you. Look at verse 6. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Hey, hallelujah. 24 hour security. That's our insurance. Divine assurance. Amen. He says this, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Do you know what he means by this phrase? If you have a casual reading, you don't understand. If you look in the reference, if you have a good Bible margin rendering, he will refer you to Isaiah 49 verse 10. Let's take a look at Isaiah 49 verse 10. Isaiah 49 and verse 10. And this is what it says here. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. Do you have that there? Same thing in Revelation chapter 7 verse 16. The heat of the sun will not smite thee. And he says in Isaiah 49 verse 10, why? Because the shepherd will guide thee continuously. It is a phrase that refers to the shepherding care of our God. So when you say, His eyes is watching over me, I'll tell you, when He watched over you, He watched over you with the look of a shepherd. He looked at you as His beloved sheep. And like a shepherd, He watched over you. He makes sure none of you is going to be lost. None of you are going to perish. None of you are going to be destroyed. He will make sure everything will be fine. That you will land up in the green pastures and the still waters of your soul. Hey, what an eye. Not a cold eye, but a shepherding, caring eye of the Lord. Amen? So it's a wonderful thing. Do you know something? Most people, when they talk about divine protection, they flip through Psalms 91. Oh, Psalms 91 is my protection. I tell you, Psalms 91 is outdated. Psalms 91 is for 20th century. 21st century is Psalms 121. He said, how dare you say that? I'll prove to you. Psalms 91, the divine protection is simply, the most famous protection clause is the angels that protect you, right? But Psalms 121 is the Lord. Who is greater, the Lord or the angels? Hey, Psalm 121 is more superior. Because the Lord is my Jehovah Shammah. What a wonderful thing. And not only that, look with me in verse 3. He said, He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that shama thee will not slumber. Now, verse 3 say, He that shama thee will not slumber. And he used the phrase, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now, at a casual reading, it seems like Psalm 91. Your foot will not stumble, right? Your foot will be protected. But this has a beautiful meaning. If you begin to discover that this phrase, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, it was taken from where? It was taken from Psalm 66 verse 9. Let's turn to Psalm 66 and verse 9. Psalm 66 and verse 9, he says, Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffer not our feet to be moved. Do you have the phrase there? Same phrase? He will not suffer thy feet to be moved. What do you mean by He not suffer thy feet to be moved? Look carefully in verse 9 again. Which holdeth our life, our soul in life. When God say He will not cause your feet to be moved, He simply, your life is in God's hand. Woo! Your life, your soul is in His hand. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. The most interesting thing about the word foot, to be moved. The word move is mot. The word mot in the Hebrew talks about how a cow that was plowing the field where they have a yoke around their neck. This yoke never slip and fall to the ground. This yoke remain intact. Which means your foot will remain the same condition. You come in fine, you're going to go out fine. You don't come in not so good, come out, come back with a Hong Kong foot. No. You come back with the nice feet that you go out. Because the Lord is going to preserve your feet. The Lord will preserve our life. When I was sharing this in Taiwan, just a few days ago, I was telling them, I say, tonight, God is our Jehovah Shammah. We will not die prematurely before our time. And I began to share with them about a trip that I made a few years ago into from Jakarta into Semarang in Indonesia. When I was traveling in that kind of old-fashioned plane run by two propellers, you know, how wonderful the sound of the propeller that sit about 8 to 10 people. So we were sitting right at the back and the plane take off from Jakarta and right up in the middle in the air, halfway through, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, one of the propellers stopped. And there was scream going on and I start to kurra-ba-ra-ba-kurra. What a man of faith. After I begin to pray and I look out of the window, the propeller that had stopped paddling, I saw an angel was holding onto the wing. When I saw the angel, I said, hey, don't have to pray anymore. They were still praying. I said, cool, man, you don't have to pray. We are protected. He said, no, we are going down. I said, no, angel is protecting us. Don't have to pray anymore. Let's rejoice. And guess what? Several minutes later, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and we landed on time. We didn't crash. When you have Jehovah Shammah, thy foot will not be moved, which represents your life will not be in danger. Nobody should have any premature death without the permission of God. Do you know that? Do you know that if you are walking in dynamic faith tonight, you are not supposed to die before your time without the permission of God. No one can touch you without having a permission from God before you end your life. If you don't understand this tonight, I tell you, you'll buy 3 insurance policies before you travel. But if you understand this principle tonight, you will not buy out of fear. You know, you can buy insurance policy, amen? But we not buy out of fear. We'll buy because for the sake of the family, security, they feel more at ease. Amen? We're walking in faith, but they feel more at ease because of family consideration. But what I'm trying to say is that this is our insurance psalms. When we believe this psalm is going to protect us. Now, how will this psalm protect us? Is it only for 1 year? Look carefully in Isaiah 27 verse 3. I'm reading from the King James Version. Psalms, Isaiah 27 and verse 3. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Interesting. Isaiah 27 verse 3. He said, I, the Lord, do keep it. I, the Lord, do shama it. I will water it every moment. I will make sure nothing hurts it night and day. Not only night and day and day and night. Do you know what he says in Isaiah 27 verse 3? He said, I will shama it every moment. Hallelujah. Moment. Every moment. He is keeping watch over me. Why should I fear about my life? Why should I worry that the next time I sit in SIA plane, it will crash? No. As long as you're on board the plane, SIA will not crash. Do you know something? As long as you sit on the plane, that plane will not crash. So SIA must thank you because of you. Because God will watch over the plane and the plane is not going to crash. So they should employ more Christians on board the airline. Hallelujah. Amen. So be assured that tonight onwards, everywhere we go, when we drive in the car, don't worry, God will protect us. When we are traveling across the mountain ranges in central Taiwan, the road is so narrow, but God protect us. When he drives so fast. He's just at the edge of the mountain cliff. But God protected us. Amen? God protect every one of us tonight here. How long is going to protect us? Look at verse 8. How long this psalm is going to last? Is it going to last for this year? Next year it will not work anymore? Look at it from verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for one day. And for how long? Forever. How long is forever? Forever means until the end of time. That means every day, every month, every week, every year. Even if there's 25 millennium, it will still work. Because it's forever. This means this psalm will work every day of our life. If we believe it, we choose to put our trust in it, and we choose to walk in faith, it will work. Amen? So, how do we apply this psalm? Very interestingly, it goes in verse 1. He said, my help cometh from the hills. Verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The word help in the Hebrew, sail, is a very interesting word. The word sail in the Hebrew means something that hover over upon something that casts a shadow. It's like the pillar of cloud by day that hover on top above the tents of Israel. It casts a shadow. So they will prevent it like a shade from the heat of the day, right? So this shade is the word help. My help, my covering comes from the Lord. So when the Lord covers me, there is a shadow over my life. Hey, the Lord is on top of me. What is on top of me? Well, in verse 5, he says, the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my shade. What shade? He goes on to say, upon thy right hand. The right hand always has to do with the position of Jesus. Hebrew chapter 8 verse 1, the high priest sitteth at the right hand on the majesty on high. So who sit on the right hand? Jesus. Who is the right hand? Jesus. Who is your shade tonight? Who casts a shadow over your life? Jesus. So when Jesus' hand, He said, thy right hand, the hand of the Lord upon you casts a shadow. He said, a hand on top of me, only protect me from the missiles and the rain and the hailstone. But how about the floods? Because above me is protected, but how about around me? Well, not to be dismayed, because you look at the word help, it's very interesting. The word shade is to cast a shadow, right? But the word help in the Hebrew is the word iza. Iza means to surround with help. Now, you have what we call hi-fi set. We call it stereo surround sound, right? You press the word surround sound, what happens? The speaker will give you a creative sound effect that will somehow amplify and echo the sound throughout the whole room. It surrounds your whole living hall with sound. Every part of the hall, you can hear the sound. So when you say, my help, surround sound help, hallelujah. It surrounds you, not only on top of you, but surround you, wrap you up all around you. Your left, your right, your top, your bottom, surround sound. You are protected. Woo! Your protection is surround in effect. Hallelujah. So fear no evil. So what are we going to do? Simply by understanding, confess Psalms 121. How do we confess? Every day when you wake up in the morning, we can confess simply, God, I believe in you today. That you are Jehovah Shammah, my covenant watchman, who shall keep me safe from all evil, every day, every moment, from now on and forevermore. Wow! When you are afflicted by fear of something happening in the stock market, Lord, you Shammah my soul from fear today. Hallelujah! Surround my heart with that solid assurance that I will not fear any evil. Woo! So how do we begin tonight? Well, look at Psalms 124, verse 8. 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The surrounding help, stereo sound help, comes from the name of the Lord. Whenever you say, in the name of Jesus, you are Jehovah Shammah, preserving me from now and forevermore. How do you do? In prayer, how this psalmist have that assurance that his help certainly come from the Lord. He begins in verse 2. He says this. If, verse 1, if the Lord has not been the Lord who is on our side, now may Israel say, if the Lord has not been on our side, men will rose up against us. If the Lord is not on our side, they will swallow us up. If the Lord is not on our side, the water will overwhelm us. If the Lord is not on our side, the proud waters will gone over our soul. But praise be to God, the Lord is on my side, who has given us not a prey to their teeth. The Lord is on my side. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snares of the hunters. The snares is broken and we are escaped. Hallelujah. We come before the Lord. We say, because you have been on our side, the enemy cannot overcome us. Because you have been on our side, the snares have been broken. We escape like a bird from the fowls, from the traps of the enemy. Amen. And then, you begin to open up your Bible every morning. What do? You read Psalms 121, verse 1 to 8. The first time when you read, it is to get your mind familiar with the promises of God. After the first round, the second round you read in faith, believing it. And when you read, you don't say, I will lift up my eyes under the hills from whence come my help. That is during lunch hour when your stomach is hungry. You read like that. But if you read in faith in the morning, you say, I will lift up my help, my eyes unto the hills from whence come my help. Hallelujah! You begin to read on, my help, hallelujah, my help, hallelujah, my help, hallelujah, my help, hallelujah, comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And you goes on to say, He will preserve my soul, my foot will not be moved. because He is looking at me. He is preserving me. Neither slumber nor sleep, because the Lord is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is my keeper. Hallelujah. Therefore, the sun will not strike me by day. Hallelujah. Today when I go out, no plague, no evil is going to smite me, because the Lord is my protection. The Lord is my preservation. And you go on to say, the Lord will preserve me, shamar me from all evil. The Lord will preserve my soul. Hallelujah. My soul will be protected. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. When I go out, I will be shamar. When I come in, I will be shamar from now on and forevermore. Hallelujah. This is how you pray. Based on this book, this is how you confess and believe it. And believe it. And believe it. And it will work. It works for me, this trip in Taiwan. It certainly will work for you, if you believe it with a childlike faith. And this is what we're going to do right now. Amen. This is what we're going to do. We have two roles here. So what we're going to do is we're going to proclaim. The row A here will proclaim from verse 1 to verse 4. And row B here will be from verse 5 to verse 8. So when I read from verse 1, you begin to exercise your faith. Begin to claim that my help come from God. My stereo sound help come from God. God will surround me with a shield of help. The Lord will protect me from every form of danger. From the left, from the right, from the top, from the bottom. Hallelujah. Amen. He must claim. You say, help, help. It will not work for you. You must believe it. Grab hold of the promises of God and say, Lord, the devil may not believe it, the angels may not believe it, but I believe it. It is my security. It is my help. Amen. Let's begin. Are you ready to exercise your faith tonight? Alright. Let's begin. I will lift up my eyes. It's your eyes on the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Unto the hills, from hence come my help, 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 help. Right now. Feel like a surrounding shield around you. A force that surrounds your soul. A force that surrounds your life. A force that surrounds your family. A force that surrounds your home. A force that will surround your children. Hallelujah. My surrounding help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. My life will be preserved. My food will not be afflicted with Hong Kong food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, He that keepeth me, He that preserveth me, neither slumber nor sleep. Right now, look and imagine and behold and believe the eye of the Lord with wide open eyelids looking at you. Praying, looking at you. Whew. You believe it. You believe it. From today you say, I believe my help comes from the Lord. The next morning somebody call you and say, have you signed up for the policy? No, I've signed up and I declare my help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. How about you? Verse 5, are you ready? The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my bodyguard. The moment you walk out of His face, there is a bodyguard, the Lord Himself. Hallelujah. The Lord is your shade. When you walk out of this place, the hand of the Lord is upon you. The hand of the Lord is above you. The hand of the Lord follows you like a pillar of cloud. The hand is with you tonight. On this side, the eye of the Lord is upon you. On this side, the hand of the Lord is upon you. Hallelujah. The eye, the hand of the Lord is with us. Whew. And it says, oh, by day and by night, they will not smite thee. Hallelujah. Now is night hour. Hallelujah. Tonight, no demon power, no nightmare is going to torment your soul, because you will preserve your soul in your sleep. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, watch over my dreams when I sleep tonight. Because you are Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Say all evil. All evil. Nothing. No earthquake. No plane crash. No fire. No theft. No accident. No. Nothing. All evil. Nothing. 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 preserve thee from all evil. He will preserve your soul. Your soul is not going to be sick. Your soul is not going to be mentally unsound. Your soul doesn't need psychological help. Your soul just needs God to preserve it. Hallelujah. And it says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy going in. You're going out tonight from this place. Going back to your home will be preserved. Will receive maximum 100% guaranteed protection. Oh, hallelujah. What a psalm. What a psalm. What a marvelous psalm. Take hold of those words. Act in faith. Act on those words. Believe it and live it, the word out in your life. And we'll see the reality of the power of Psalms 121. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the marvelous salvation. We believe it. We believe it. We believe your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. We choose to believe your words tonight. And we declare with our mouth, you are Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, my watchman, the Lord, my keeper, the Lord, my protector, the Lord, my preservator. Preserve me, protect me from all harm and danger. Hallelujah! For the maximum protection from the eye, the hand, and the person of the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We believe in it. We rejoice in it. And we claim it. It is ours today. It is ours today. It's operating right now. Right now. It's operating. Right now. It's operating. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're protected. Walk out, rejoice. The hand, the eye of the Lord is on you. Amen. Hallelujah.